Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello and Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back. Today's Daf is Menachos Pei Zayin. So we finished the Mishnah yesterday. We're holding at the beginning of the Gemara here, which is six lines off the top of the Amud. The Gemara will now refer back and quote the Mishnah as follows. Ein mevin loy masik v'loy mevushal. So we speak about sourcing wine for the nesachim, for the karbanos. Mishnah says you don't bring naturally sweet wine v'loy mevushal, nor cooked v'loy meushan, or smoked. And it's critical. It doesn't work. Maybe possibly bring it. It's possible. Disqualify totally. So that's a quote from the second part of the Mishnah. But the issue is that a couple of lines earlier, the Mishnah seemed to say otherwise, that sweetened is sweet wine is not preferred, but it's okay. V'oktani reisha, look at the beginning of the Mishnah. Earlier it says, Ein mevin es halyistain, don't bring halyistain, v'maybe kosher. That's a form of sweet wine. And it works. And here it says it doesn't. Amar avina kreich v'tani. Wrap it all together as one sentence. Meaning, the Mishnah never said it's kosher. Don't bring halyistain. And the Mishnah continues and sort of recaps and says, yeah, don't bring that one, the naturally sweet, because it's possible. So it's really not a contradiction at all. It's possible. Kroich v'tani, wrap it together and learn it as one statement. One halach. Ravashi Omar, he says, actually, we're talking about two different things. There are two variations of sweet wine. Chulyo de shimsha, if the sweetening was affected by the sun, so it's a late harvest, which ends up, you know, sort of staying out longer, and was sweetened through that process. That's not disgusting. That's it's not ideal. Ideally, you know, wine shouldn't have that element of sweetness, but after all, it works. It's not as deficient as chulya the pera. That's mos. If the chulya, the sweetness, is rooted in the actual grape, the fruit itself, something deficient within the grape itself, that's mos. That's mos and cannot be used for karbanos. What about aged wine? Ein mevin yashan, you can't do that. Divrei, that's the opinion of Rebbe. V'chacham machshir, they say it's okay. Amar chizk, my time with the Rebbe, why does Rebbe disallow the old wine? Amar krov, we have a pasuk which compares wine to a sheep, la keves yain. And we know ma keves ben shnosoi, just like the sheep has to be within the first year of its birth to be suitable for carbon, af yain ben shnosoi, likewise wine has to be fresh wine. Ima keves ben shtei shan impasal. Well, if you're comparing it through this hekesh to a sheep, so it should be critical, which means to say that not just lichatchil, not just as a preference, but just as by a kebes, if it's past the first year, if it's within the second year, it's possible. The same should be with wine. It should be ma'akev. Ima kebes, if so just like a kebes, ben shtei shanim possible. If it's overage, it's possible. Av yayin, likewise wine. If it's overage, it should be possible. Ben shtei shanim is possible. Chitei mechanami. So perhaps it's right. Who says not? Well, the Brisa says not. Vatanya, the Brisa says, even according to Rebbe, it's not preferred, but it works. It passes. Vatanya, yayin ben shtei shanim, lo yavi. Don't bring the old wine to your maybe country. It brings it, it's okay. Man shamas le damar lo yavi. Who's the one who supports this point to avoid the older wine? That's Rebbe. V'kamar, the Brisa clearly says, it's acceptable. Maybe kosher. Well, if it's learned from the pasuk, it should be critical. Elam Arava, I'll tell you why, according to Rebbe, the older wine is not suitable. L'chatchila. How in the time of the Rebbe? I'll tell you Rebbe's reason. It's based on a pasuk in Mishle, which extols the virtues of a fresh wine, so that's why we prefer it. It's a preference, but it's not critical. The pasuk says, Al teir yayin, don't be drawn after, you know, the excitement of wine. Alter Yanki is Adam, be drawn by the sparkling redness. Is Adam as the Oidim. And the Chachamim, Rashi explains, the Chachamim knew that the true red pigment is only present during that first year, but past that point it sort of fades and it's not the ideal premier quality wine. So that's why according to Rebbe, we shy away from that, but only as a chatchila. But the evad is kash. Ein mivin lo minat loya is tana. So where do you take your grapes from? Kromim havudim pamayim bashana. Those vineyards which are cultivated twice a year. Then you know you have good stuff. Rav Yosef havale karna de paradisa. In fact, Rav Yosef followed this instruct. He had this little corner, this little patch of vineyard, and he cultivated it twice. The Rafa paid tvei rivka. He did an extra rivka, an extra, you know, overturning of the soil, which enhanced its ability to right. It gave it extra nutrients, extra power. Va'avad chamra. So that wine produced from that area was so strong and powerful. The dari maya. So you would dilute it with water al chad train, twice as much as standard. Typically, it's one part to three parts wine or two parts wine. So this was double as much. That's how good it was. So, in terms of storing the wine, ideal is not big ones, not big vats, rather smaller ones. Now, the Bryce will point out that smaller doesn't mean really small, it means medium-sized vats. That's the ideal. Tana, we learned in the Bryce, Chavias, Kadias, barrels, pitchers, Ludias, Binonias from Lud, the medium-sized ones. Furthermore, to ensure the integrity of the wine, make sure that you separate the barrels. Ein manichan eisen shtayim shtayim. Don't put them together next to each other as pairs, because if one spoils, it's going to contaminate the one next to it. Ela achas achas. Put them separately to keep them safe and sound. Ketzad boide gizbar yoyshev v'konu biyado izara kagir hikish v'konu. So the Mishnah, we learn that the gizbar, the one in charge in the hegdish, he has this little stick and he gives a little tap when he sees the sediment coming out with the wine, as an indication that they have to, quickly close the spigot. Now, why doesn't he just speak it out? Tana, so first of all, we learned in a brisa, zorak hagir, when the gir comes out, it means shal shmarim, so the flow of gir is a white material from the residue from the bottom. When you start seeing that, Gizbar hikish bekana, the Gizbar snaps with his why did you just say it out? Why do you have to snap with sticks? Misayele the Rabbi Yechanan, that's right, Rabbi Yechanan, the Rabbi Yechanan. We have an interesting parallel. Geshem shadibur yafal b'sam, just like we know that speaking helps the b'samim. So when they used to crush the incense for the Beis HaMikdash, they would speak. They would say, Hadeg, Hatev, Hatev, Hadeg, right? Crush well, crush, right? Somehow words. When you speak near the psalmim, it enhances the psalmim. So the reverse, just exactly the opposite, is by wine. Kach dibur ra liyayin. Speaking actually is detrimental to wine. So they used to keep hush quiet, and he would just use sticks. And Rabbi Yisrael b'ida Omer, he says if the barrel is discovered to have, these kmach and these layers, some white residue inside, the whole barrel is pasul. So, to what extent is it considered pasul? Barab Yechna. So, this we had the other day as well. What if you magdish it? Okay, he chooses to be magdish something which is unsuitable. Does he get malchus? Like by a fellow who's magdish an animal which has a mum? Higdisha, if he designates this unsuitable wine, maushil ka'olo, does he get malchus? Mishum. On account of baal mum, like a blemished animal, given the puzzle, shall we say, since it's disqualified, it's deficient, kir baal mum dam, has the same status as a baal mum, and he gets malchus for giving it away. Or you can say, no, ain baal mum behema. After all, the true status of baal mum only applies to a behema, living animal, which is blemished. But wine, even if it's inferior and deficient, it's not labeled as a baal mum. Take it, we'll leave it unresolved. Tana rabban. Okay, you're looking for good rams, for good sheep, for good. This is where you go. Tana rabban elim. You want the best rams? Mi mayav, go to mayav. Kvasim, that you go mi chevrein. Agolim, calves, mi shan, a place called Sharon. Gazolais, birds, my ramelach. Bidoimer, mi bin kvasim, shagoman kirach. But ideally, you get the really wide, fatty sheep that are, their width corresponds to their height. Hamarav, barav, shi, my time, they read it. What do we find? this idea in a pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda is coming from a pasuk. Tachsiv, Yirei Mikmecha B'Yamehu Kar Nirchav. Kar is the sheep. Nirchav, wide. Interestingly, Tosfos brings that the kvasim that they used for the carbon tamid was so tall that first of all they would chew off the cedar trees, that they would eat off the cedar trees, and when they would how they transport them to Yerushalayim, he says they would put them on gemalim on camels, and their legs would drag on the floor. That's how big and huge they were. Ksiv, okay, so on account of the previous lesson by Rava Bar Avshil, we have another one from the same under Omer on these psukim. Ksiv, so the pasuk speaks about Al Chaymu Yisayich Yerushalayim Yifkan De Shemrim Kol Ayayim V'chal Alaylos. Rashi says Shemrim are the Malachim, so there are angels guarding over Yerushalayim all time. Kol Ayayim V'chal Alayla Tomil Layech Shom Askir Mez Hashem Al Dim Lachem. They're always expressing as Hashem. My Amri, what are they saying? What are they saying? What are they davening? What are they saying? Those malachim. Hachi, Amar Rav Barashila. Atos Sokim. So this is during the time of exile. They're davening to Hashem. Please Hashem, restore the status, the glory of Yerushalayim. Rebuild Yerushalayim. Atos Sokim. Tarachem Tzien. Racham Rashid. Ovitzok Amar. They say, Bani Yerushalayim Hashem. Umikor Mayabu Amri. And earlier, before the destruction, what were they saying then? Amar Rav Barashila. They were expressing the pride of Yerushalayim. Ki baruch Hashem etzion, Hashem picked, chose Yerushalayim, Iva, as a place of l'moish abloi. He desired it as a place of his dwelling. Harim lachol kabanas atzibur. Says the Mishnah. Shtei midas shol yavash hayi b'migdash. In the Migdash, they had two measuring units, measuring cups, measuring containers that they would use for karbanas, etc. So there were only two dry measuring meant for dry material. One was Isarin. Isarin means a tenth, right? Asiri. A tenth of what? Of an Eifa. Some say it's about 4 liters. Equivalent of 4 liters. Pretty big amount of flour for a mincha. Isarin was the amount needed for a mincha. And also, v'chatz Isarin, there was a measure which was the side of a half of Isarin. What for? We'll see later on. Rameo Emer. No, it was extra, there was an extra one as well. There was Isarin, like we just said. And plus another Isarin. By the way, we speak about, you know, two midas. They didn't just have two. It means to say that there were two categories, two sizes. Now, of course, each one could have had 100. Could have been 100 Isarins and 100 halves to be used by all the, you know, all the people bringing carbonates. But in terms of sizes, there were only two. According to Rameir, there was an Isarin, plus another Isarin, which was slightly different than this one. We'll see later in the Gemara exactly what the difference was. And then there was the half, a Chatz Isarin. It says the Mishnah, Isarin, the Isarin cup, or container, Mahi Meshamesh, what was its purpose? Shabai Haya Maidei Chomenachis, that was used to measure up the Isailas for your standard Mincha, which needed an Isarin. Okay, so that was a very popular measuring container. Now, although we know that when it comes to the minchas nesachim of a par, of a cow, you need 3 Yisroinim. An ayal needs... They didn't have a 3-pounder. They used to use the same Yisroin and measure 3 times to get to 3. Lo'yhoye moided lo'yibishlash la'par. They wouldn't use a 3-pounder for the par, v'lo'yibishlash na'im la'il, or a 2-pounder for the ayal. Ela moidden Yisroinis. He would measure up the Yisroin 3 times to get to the desired total. So that was the function of the Isarin. Chatz Isarin Mayim Hashamash. What about the half Isarin? What was that for? Shabayah Moided Chavitik Kohen Gadol. That was meant to measure up the material for the Chavitik Kohen Gadol, which, as we learned earlier, was delivered as a full Isarin, but then it was split into two, divided into two halves. One for the half for the morning, Mechza Babaikar. Mechza, and the other half in Abayim for the evening. Tanya Rameyah Imer. So Rameyah presents his Shita that there were two measurements, each one contained an Isarin. Matam Olaymer, so what does the pasuk mean? Yisorin, Yisorin. I mentioned this word Yisorin twice. Like Kevas Echad Malam, we're going from Yisorin. Shtei Yisorin, how you mean there's two types of Yisorin containers? Now, if there were both Yisorin, what's the purpose? There was a slight difference. Echad Godesh, ve'echad Mochok. They were different. In the sense that one was Godesh, one was heaped. Ve'echad Mochok, one was not heaped. It was just topped off to the top, but did not rise. The material was not meant to rise higher in the rim around it. So when we say Gadash, it means like this. The Isarin container was meant to be used to measure an Isarin of flour. It was meant to contain an Isarin, but it only contained it with, if you combine, if you add the heap, so it was heaped up above the rim, and that heaping portion completed the Isarin. Okay, so the material within and above got you to the total of Isarin. Ve'achad machok. The other type of Isarin was a bit larger in terms of its content. It would contain a bit more than the previous one, in a sense that within itself, without any need to heap, within itself, within the walls, there was enough space for an Isarin. So the capacity within itself, without the heap, was already a full Isarin. What was the purpose of both? Says the Gemara, Gadash, the heap one, was meant for all the menachos. It was meant to measure up the Isarin for all the menachos. What about the machok? The one that was larger with the heap inside already. Rashi explains, you know why? Because it would go through several measuring steps. First you bring it in as a full Isarin, then you go and you divvy it half hair, you can start spilling and moving things around. If you're going to have the heap above the rim, as is usually done, it's going to end up spilling all over the place. In order to avoid that issue, to keep it safe and sound, to keep it neat and contained, you would have the measuring container a bit bigger, a bit larger, and would contain within itself all the desired material. Hence, we need two Isarinos, one for standard mincha, one for chavit gadol. The Chacham Omrim, no, they weren't concerned about this issue. Just had one Isarin, that's it. Lo yoshem Isarin echad. Actually, later the Gemara will tell us, according to Rabbanan, actually it was, they were concerned. Meaning, it was only one Isarin, which was a machak, which had within it the extra. So we accommodate everything, including chavit gadol, in the same container. You don't need two. Lo yoshem Isarin echad. Shenamar, look at the pasuk. Isarin echad, akavasa echad. Isarin echad means only one. It was only one unit of Isarin. So what do they do with Rabbi Meir's pasuk, which refers to two Isarin Isarin? L'rabba is chatzi Isarin. That wasn't coming to add another Isarin measuring cup, rather to add the half. For Rabbi Meir, okay, according to him, chatzi Isarin. Now, how does he know? There's an extra one for half. Tam klem Isarin. He says vi Isarin, extra vav of Isarin echad covers the extra chatzi Isarin measuring cup. For Rabbanon, they don't dwell on the vav in this case. Okay, for Rabbi Meir. Now let's go the other way. Rabbi Meir, what does he do with the Chachamim's source, the pasuk which indicates that there was only one Isarin measuring cup? For Rabbi Meir, I have Isarin echad, a cup of Isarin. What do you do with that? Ahu, that's coming to teach you that you're meant to always only use the Isarin unit, even if you're looking to make three Isarinus, like for the par, etc. You just use the same Isarin over and over again to get to the desired quantity. Ahu, that pasuk is coming to tell you, Shlayim doid lo yibishal shloy shal apar. You should not use a three, Isarin unit for the par, which needs three Isarinus. And likewise, veloy nor bishal shnaim la'ayl, should use a two, a pounder for the ayl. Isarin echad, you only use one Isarin over and over again. V'rabbanon, nafklu mi'nikudei. Had the Rabbanon know this point, because there's a dot over the letter of Vav in the word V'Yisarin, and the Vav restricts to tell you, you only use the Yisarin, you don't make a double or triple Yisarin container. The Sanya, as we find in the Braisa, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Lama Nakad Vav, why do we find a little dot in the Torah over the Vav, which is situated in the middle of the word of Yisarin, Shebe'emtze Yisarin, which Yisarin, where, shall Yisarin Rishain, Shel Yom Tavishin Harishin Shel Chag. You look at the first day of Sukkot, so the first time it says Isarin, you have the little dot there to teach you that you're only meant to use the Isarin container, never a double Isarin, triple Isarin. Shel Yom Doid should not measure up for the three Isarin of the par, a big three Isarin unit. No, Loi Shel Gimel Par, but Loi Shel Shnayim La'ayin. Okay, Rav Meir, what does he do with the dot? Nikud Leidarsh, he doesn't dwell on this dot in this case. He doesn't apply it for this context. Okay. So bottom line is, according to Olshit, there was a Chatz Isarin. According to Olshit, there was an Isarin as well. According to Rav Meir, there was an extra Isarin. One was for standard Menachos, which he calls Gadash, which was overheaped, according to, and then there was a second one, which was a machok, which was merely flat on top, was not overfilled, so that it was used for the chavitin, so it doesn't spill. Chatzi yisorayin mahi meshamesh, sheba yehaya moideh, the chavitin going god, according to the chatzi yisorayin, was meant to measure up the two halves for the Kohen Gadol's chavitin. Now it sounds like you would bring it in like that. You would bring it to Beis Hamikdash and right away measure up a half for the morning, come back, measure up another half for the afternoon. It sounds like it's the first time it was measured up and the first time it became Kaddish. Because remember, these midos, these containers are klei sharis, which sanctify their content. Moided, really? That's how you do it? For a minute, we have a brayso so that you don't do it like that. Chavit Kohen Gadol, you don't bring it in half at a time. Ella, rather, maybe Yisorin Shalem. You deliver it as a fully Yisorin, right? And a Kli Shoris. Then, afterwards, you divide it. Amar of Sheshes, that's exactly what the Mishnah means. Of course, it starts off in Yisorin. My Moided, Nami Dekhtan Mechal, when the Mishnah says you measure it up into a half Yisorin, it means to say you take the content of the fully Yisorin, so first you put it into that one, and then Mechalik, you divide it into two using the half Yisorin container. Voimine. Rami Bacham, he asked the question of Rav Chisda. Chatzi Yisorin shel Rav Meir. So we know that the Yisorin used for Chavitin, according to Rav Meir, was larger in size to keep its content safe and sound. What about the Chatzi Yisorin, Rav Meir? According to him, Gadosh Haya Machakaya. Was it Gadosh? Was it overfilled? Or Machakaya was the extra ready embedded inside to keep it, you know, neat and safe. Ask the Gemara, why are we only dwelling on this case? The same question could be posed to Rabban, according to Rabbanah. Right? What happens to the Chatzi Yisorin? Says the Gemara, you're right. L'Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, Yisorin Gufei. According to Rabbanon, you can ask the same question regarding their Yisorin, which was also meant to be used for Chavitin, which logically would require a Mach to keep it safe, because it can be moved around and measured and remeasured. Was it a Gadosh Haya or a Machakai? Amar Yisrael Chizda responds like this. I'll give you, you know, an answer that answers all your questions. We'll draw a parallel, a chain parallel. Midr Rameir, from Rameir's words, his opinion, regarding the Yisorah and use for Chavitin, which he says has to be Gadosh, Nishma. We will now derive that will clarify for us Lirab Meir, Meir's opinion regarding the Chatzi Yisorin use for Chavitin. Presumably, it runs the same system. It's also Machak. Otherwise, you could confuse yourself. This one, the heap is outside, the heap is inside. You're not going to wait. So once we establish that, let's take it a step further. Umid Rab Meir, based on Rab Meir's Shita, Nishma L'Rabban, will clarify the Rabban's opinion as well. Meaning, Midam Rab Meir, once Rab Meir tells us Yisorin for the Chavitin was the Machak, was the one that had the Goydish inside, assumingly Chatzi Yisorin Nami Machak, Chatzi Yisorin used for the Chavitin, also ran the same system. Right? Presumably they're on the same track to keep things consistent. Okay, once you establish that, Midr Rameir Machak, so once we assume that according to Rameir, it's all Machak, right? Rabban Nami Machak. Want to Rabbanon as well. Their Yisorin is also a Machak. Why not? Meaning, the same concern Rameir has. The reason why Rameir requires that the Yisorin for Chavitin should be Machak to keep the material safe and sound, the same would apply to Rabbanon as well. Otherwise, it's going to spill out. Meaning, even though Kontra Rabbanon is all just one and the same measurement cup being used for all Menaches, but after all, it's also going to be used on a daily basis for the Chavitin, which might spill because of all its movement and shifting around and right and transferring of materials. So let's assume that their one Isarin was in fact Machal to accommodate the Chavitin. So bottom line is like this. We have an Isarin, we have a Chatzi Isarin, we have an extra Isarin as well. It's all going to be Machal, except for one Isarin, which according to Rameh is only when used for other Menaches, the extra one, and that's Gadosh. Another question. The poster of Chista. So back to the Chavita. So again, you delivered in the Yisurin, then you divide it again into two halves, half for the morning, half for the evening. And in the morning you make six challah, six, you know, little rolls, six loaves, and the same in the afternoon. Now how you split your batch into six? It's already in dough form. A little hard to split it evenly. How do you split the, into individual chalais? Into six chalais. Do you use your hand? Is it a manual system? Or do you have a kli for that? So it's more, of course you do it manually. Because if you're going to require a kli, it's going to bring a scale into the azara and measure up the dough. And it's hard to use just a container because dough doesn't really avail itself, doesn't really adjust properly to a volume, you know, based container. So it's more, what's the big deal of the achnis? Okay, so bring in a scale. No, it's inappropriate. Given the kloloksiv, since it's in the teichacha, it's a negative reference in the Torah. Shivu lachmachem b'mishkol, there's going to be a shortage of bread, which you're going to have to measure up and ration. So it's not a good presentation for the Beis Hamikdash, which is the Makom HaBracha, right? Given the clogs of Lava Rechara, it's not appropriate, and therefore we assume there's no scale involved. Rather, you just do it manually as best as you could. Another question. Shulchan, Mao Shikadish Kmatzim, Bagadish Shaloi. Okay, so we speak about the material sitting in the heap, right? So in similar fashion, we have a question regarding the Shulchan, which had the bread situated on it. Now, as we know, the Shulchan didn't really have an interior. It didn't have a containment, right? There was no walls around it. It was a flat surface with piles of bread, right? Lechem upon him. What if you put something directly on that surface? That doesn't really belong on the surface, like the levina, the spices which are meant to be in the bezichim, the spoons. You put them directly on the table, on the Shulchan. Or, as Tosfos says, the kaimetz of a mincha. Is it going to be mekadesh begoydesh shaloi in this area, which is above its surface? Shall we say, perhaps yes, just as it sanctifies its bread, despite just sitting on its surface, perhaps it's mekadesh the kaimetz as well, even without an interior, without a containment. Or you can say the chazilei mekadesh. Yeah, the breads belong there. It's suitable for the, so it's mekadesh. The lechazilei material, which is not meant to be there, perhaps lay mekadesh. It doesn't do it. Amalei, is it any mekadesh? No, it's not mekadesh that material. Any really? Vam Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan told us that it is. According to the shita that the lechem aponim was folded 2.5 tefachim on either side, so basically the lechem aponim was 10 tefachim long, and the shulchan was only 5 tefach wide. So if you lay the length of the bread across the width of the shulchan, you have 5 extra tefach. What do you do with it? You fold it up. So it's 2.5 tefach on either side, fold it up, and then when you stack the lechem aponim one on top of the other, 6 in total. So you multiply, in terms of the height, you multiply 2.5 tefach by 6, get you 15 tefachim. So the Shulchan had that ability to be Mekadesh upwards. Its Kedusha reached upwards 15 tefachim. According to the Shita that the Shulchan was 6 tefachim wide, so the breads which were 10, overlapped 4, 2 on each side, so you only folded up 2 tefach up on either side, stacked by 6, get you 12 in total. So again, according to the Shita, you would fold the breads up 2.5 tefach on either side. So it turns out that the Shulchan reaches up 15 tefach. According to the Shita, you only fold them up 2 tefach on either side. So it comes out that the Kedusha of the Shulchan only reaches 10 tefach high. But in any case, it's not just teaching us arithmetic. That's pretty obvious. We all know what he meant to teach us. Obviously, that the Shulchan is Mekadesh materials up until that point. So its power reaches up until 12, 15 tefachim. It's Mekadesh. Whatever you put there. And here you tell me that it's not Mekadesh anything, aside from the Lechem Amalei. So he says, I meant like this. My when I said Eina Mekadesh, it doesn't have that Kedusha effect, Likarev. It doesn't affect it in a positive way to enable it to be brought in the Mizbeach. Ava Mekadesh possible. But of course, certainly it has an effect. It elevates its Kedusha to the extent that it makes it susceptible. It makes it more delicate. Susceptible to deficiencies like lean up, it's now left overnight, right? Now it's sort of enters the realm of carbon material, which is affected by the carbon experience. Lina and Tvul Yom touches it or leaves the area, becomes puzzle. That's what I meant, but certainly it does not have a very positive effect. It doesn't belong there. only on the lechem aponim, which is the proper material for the shulchan. Okay. Let's just recap. We spoke about two midos of yavish, two dry, measuring containers meant for dry material, isaron and chatz isaron. Chatz isaron was for the chavitin, isaron was for the regular menachis. There was an extra isaron for chavitin and gadol. And we learned that these things had to be machuk because of the extra transferring and shifting of the chavitin and gadol material. We spoke about splitting the material manually. We spoke about the shulchan's ability to be mekadesh on its surface. Okay, now we shift to liquid measuring containers. In fact, there were seven of them. The Gemara later will tell us it was a Gemara, it was a traditional Chumash Mesinai, that they had a total of seven. Different sizes. Sheva midois shalach. Seven kalim containers meant for measuring of liquid materials. Hayu b'mikdash. So we start with the grand hin. Hin was 12 log, a huge amount. Hin, v'chatzia hin. And then we go down to half a hin, which is 6 log, meant for the par, for the wine of the par. Shlishta hin, a third of a hin, which is 4 log. Urevisa hin, a quarter of a hin, which is 3 log. Then we have the log, v'chatzia log, half log, urevisa log. How can you make kiddush? Urevisa log, right? So it's 7 in total. Rabbi Lazar b'Shimon, he says there was no 7. It was one humongous tank, one big container which was marked. It was marked along its wall. Shnosais, these markings, Hayubahin, were in the hin to indicate half, quarter mark, right, etc. Adkan la par, you want to bring wine for the par, up until here. This is the halfway mark for the chatziah hin. Vaadkan la ayal, until here you bring for the ayal, adkan la kevitz, etc. Reb Shimon Omer, he says there were 7 separate ones, but not the hin. There was no purpose in having a hin. What's the purpose of a hin? There was no visible function for it in the Beis HaMikdash. It was only back in the Midbar when they made the Shemen HaMishcha. They needed a hin, but what's the point of having it today? Ella, rather, he says, like, I agree, we have to have 7. So instead of the hin, replace it with something else, as follows. There was another unique one, which was a 1.5 one. Hoyz Hashem was there. Why? What purpose did that serve? That's for the Chavitin. Right? You start off with 3 log, but then you split into 2, half of the morning, half of the afternoon. Log gemachza for the morning, log gemachza min abay. Tana Rabbanan. So the Brayso again will enumerate all the different measuring containers. Sheva midois shalachay b'migdash, it was a total of 7 midois. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we start from the bottom up, from the small to the big. Okay, starts with the smallest, Rebiyas Log, up to Vachatzi Log, then Valog, Rebiyas Ahin, Shlisha Zahin, Chatzi Yin Vehin. Rebbe Omer, no, we start from top to bottom. We start from big, and then we go to small. What's the difference? We'll see in the Gemara. Hin is the first one, Vachatzi Hin, Shlisha Zahin, Rebiyas Ahin, Valog, Chatzi Log, Rebiyas Log. Shimon Omer, once again, he says there was no point for a hin, Lo Yoyo Hin, Sham Hin, Vichim Ayin, Mishamash, what's the purpose of the hin? It had no visible function. Es Miyavi Tachtav. So what will I replace him with? Elamidi Yisera Shalog Mechtzai Sasham. There was a 1.5 log unit there, which helped us for the Chavitin. Sheboi Hoya Moide Chavitin Gan Gadol. Log Mechtzai for the morning, Baboike Log Mechtzai Ben Abayim for the afternoon. Amr Loi Sacham told him, you don't need to have a special measuring cup for that. Just use the half log unit and measure up 3 times to get you to 1.5. Very simple. Amr Loi Chatzai Logai Sasham. We had a half a log unit. Just use that 3 times over. He says, well, according to you, so why do you need anything? So according to you, as well, chatzilug. Vilug. Well, yeah, so why bother making a half log or a log unit? Just use the quarter one over and over again. You want to get a half a log? Measure up the reviz twice, right? Reviz, I say, Sham. You can use the reviz. Ella, rather, it must be that the answer is, this was the rule in the Mikdash. Kli shemeshamish bidazu. A kli which serves a specific, function, specific quantity, quantitative purpose, right? Eino yemeshamish bidachez would not be used for a different quantity. So that explains why you need a 1.5 unit for the chavitin. No, so how did the Rabbanan respond to this? The Taisa says, Rabbanan held that you don't necessarily need a designated midah for each purpose. But He says, Chachatzi, look, let's say, it was needed for many things. It was needed for the soita water, for the oil of the toida, for the oil for the menorah. It had so many functions, so that's why they designated a special one, you know, for that. But Chavit Kohen Gadol was just a once-a-day thing, so for that, you can suffice with the, you know, improvising by using the chatzilug and measuring it up three times to get you to the desired quantity. Okay, we'll continue with Hashem on this topic tomorrow. All the best to you. Siris Tovis and Hatzlacha Rabbah.